Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance. X Insurance. From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
And here we go. Day after garbage day, a Thursday in the Sig Sauer Studios. Patriot Mobile microphone fired up for you. Mark Walters in front of the mic, filling your prescription for freedom today and every day. It's all being brought to us by the great X Insurance. Greg in Dallas, Texas, how you doing down there, my brother?
Not too bad. Here we are, Thursday. Yes,
it is Thursday, one day away from your favorite day, and
yep.
You get a couple more days off. See, the week flew by. It wasn't so bad. Would you be kind enough to tell people where to watch us, please, and all that fun stuff?
Hold on. A couple days off? There's a couple days off in there?
No, you're right. There's only one.
Yeah.
I don't, forgive me for.
Hey, now.
I pulled a Biden here. For a couple of seconds, you thought, wow, is there two? Am I missing something?
You know the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Know the
thing. It's like,
you know the thing. That's a mafubala. Go ahead.
All right, man. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you can see the menu icon. Just give that a click. And when that window opens up, you can select that watch live option. If you're driving, hit that listen live link. And if you missed a previous episode and you need to get caught up, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, all you have to do is head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
And boom, that'll bring you in, and you can do that. We monitor those chats, and if you say something fun and cool, well, we'll bring it to you. Let's go to our guest, Dave Workman, the real deal, out in beautiful Bellevue, Washington. Dave, how are you, my friend? Thanks for being here today, brother.
Well, I'm sneaking by. Beautiful day out here in the Pacific Northwest, and I want to say hello to all of your. What's that?
Bright blue skies.
Oh, absolutely! It's clear as a bell up here.
Nice.
And we have these rare occasions when we have clear blue sky in the month of April. And all this does is just make it us more eager for May to come around and then June, you know. And a lot of
don't
fun to be able to drive to work in the light.
Yeah, don't wish it too fast, though, because time flies. But I cut you off there. I apologize. You were going to say something to our listeners.
I was going to say hello to all of your listeners, and it's nice to be back here with you. And, you know, I'll tell you, let's get this out of the way. A lot of people know that I've had a couple of health issues lately, and I've been getting it taken care of by a superb medical team out here. I got a doctor who's one of the best on the West Coast for what he does. And, you know, we can thank all the gods and all the heavens that modern medicine has done a lot. And what it tells me is that It's okay to say yes to drugs.
From time to time. Trust me, with my talk radio host broken knee, I know how that is.
I'm still
trying to figure that one out. You know, it's the soccer balls I'm kicking over my head during the breaks or something. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday I stopped at the ranger station out here. I picked up a firewood cutting permit. So this weekend I'm going to be roaring a chainsaw. So, you know, you don't do that when you're in bad shape. I'm looking forward to it because there's anything I like better than shooting at the range, it's running a chainsaw because you can't hear telephones ring.
Yeah, and a chainsaw is a kind of an alpha male thing, too. So I get
it. I don't know. I guess it's that toxic masculinity.
Yeah, from the woke left. Hey, Dave, I want to continue this. You and I talked a couple weeks ago about Tulsi Gabbard's change of heart, and you wrote about it.
Yeah.
Have you had any addition? Have you given that any more thought? I'm just curious, over the last 10 days or so since we've talked about it.
No, I haven't. I said what I said. It's It's part of the public record now. I haven't gotten any calls of thank you from Tulsi, and yeah. You know, we're waiting to see just how this shakes out. But she made some statements. I wrote about them. I think that if she has truly had this change of heart, which it certainly sounds to me like she has had, and she's had one of those moments of clarification that sometimes we all have, more power to her. You know, she's dynamic. She's a good communicator. You can tell that by watching her on TV. And she does not take a lot of guff from people who try to bait her. And I really appreciate that, because I'm not a person who takes a lot of guff from anybody who tries to bait me either.
No, and, the Attorney General in Washington and your governor are well aware of that, as is the mayor of Seattle and others.
Yeah, well.
That's not a false statement, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Workman and Gottlieb are out there fighting, I mean tooth and nail, in the state of Washington. They're very well known to those world famous gun grabbers. Well, the reason I ask that is because I waited about a week until today. You've got a bunch of comments down there, and one of them that seems to be a recurring theme is I don't trust her. Right?
Well,
based on what she has said and done and how she's voted over many, many years as a Democrat. And I kind of wanted to bring that into the conversation today, that I don't trust her thing, I think is important.
Okay.
And when you read that, what do you take away with that?
I'm okay with that. If somebody chooses not to trust former Congresswoman Gabbard, that's fine. That's on them. It's their decision, and you know they'll either live with it, or maybe sometime they'll change their mind. That geez, you know, maybe she is speaking not with a forked tongue, but she's straight from the heart. And not okay with that. You know, I said what I said. Other people are saying what they're saying. I think we ought to just let the discussion kind of rest until we see if she moves one direction or another. I tell you this, I'm convinced of this for sure. She ain't going to get invited to the Democrats' Christmas party this year.
No, she's definitely not. I'll tell you the way I'm approaching this is I give it some more thought, because I've heard comments from people who were listening to the program and listening to us talk. And the overarching thing tends to be that comment. You know, I don't trust her. She was a Democrat. I like what she said. And I think I believe what she said, because I agree with you, Mark, that what she said is going to be really difficult, if not impossible for her to walk back, because she was so firm in her position on it, which I agree with. But I view this as like a credit report, right? You can have crappy credit for 20 years and turn your life around. And the credit reporting agencies don't care. They're just reporting. But the lenders will look back and go, okay, for the previous 5 years, this woman hasn't missed a beat and has made all of her payments. Yeah, we'll go ahead and lend her money, right? And I kind of think that's where we're at. So it's the way people are approaching it without really thinking about it in those terms. But that's really kind of what they're doing. They're looking back at that credit history and going, sketchy. But I really like what she did here. Let's wait and see how this manifests. And I don't think it's going to take 5 years of credit reporting, of positive credit reporting. I think it's going to be the next 5 months of credit reporting as we get closer to the election to see how that position shakes out.
Yeah,
guys, the reason, go ahead.
Well, I think you're getting warm, if not nuclear white hot, on something. As this fall's election approaches, I predict we're going to see Tulsi Gabbard out there more and more, pointing her finger at her former party mates and saying,
right,
look, these guys are trying to flam you people. Don't buy it this time.
I agree with you. And in fact, you just echoed what I was going to say. And that is why I think 5 months. There's talk out there of a possible ask to be a VP. I don't think that's going to happen. But the conversation is out there. It's out there, whether it happens or not, whether she wants it or not, whether there's been any discussion. I don't know. But it's out there, okay? There are certainly better female picks. Kristi Noem, as far as I'm concerned, is another one of them. But nonetheless, she will sway opinions as she gets more vocal as we get closer and closer and closer to the election, because her platform seems to be rising. So
yeah,
she can have some sway here, which is why I wanted to have that discussion with you. Just kind of look back. It's been 10, 15 days. Has there been any any change. And like you, I stand by what I said. I know you stand by what you wrote. And I believe everything you wrote. I believe personally that she's had that change of heart because of the firmness with which she said it. And I don't think she can walk it back. So I'm glad she did, because I think that there are people out there who she could sway. And guys, let me tell you something. If you can sway 50 people in this election, that's a positive, okay? That's not a negative. Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
If you saw a $50 bill laying on the ground, would you bend down and pick it up? Yes, you would. So we'll take those 50 votes. Dave, when we come back, I want to go to doctors with you. You know, this subject keeps rearing its head, ladies and gentlemen, from time to time. And it is a fun one to talk about. And Dave, yet again, you have a great piece out there on, and you focus a little bit on Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, because yet again, this is beginning to make news. And then what I want to do with you at some point is cover some gun control stories. I want to Google gun control with you live on the air and see what pops. And let's just have a discussion on some of the headlines that come up. And I haven't looked at them yet, ladies and gentlemen. You'll hear me type it right in the computer as we're live on the air. It's always fun to do, because I can promise you, you can watch a narrative form. You'll see. I guarantee it when we come back with Dave Workman out in Bellevue, Washington. We'll be right back.
The following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, welcome back to the show. This here, ladies and gentlemen, is a Patriot Mobile phone that I'm holding in my hands. Unfortunately, I've been on it most of the day today, and unfortunately, it never goes off. So if you need me, reach out to me, because these things are always on. patriotmobile.com/AAR, patriotmobile.com/AAR. You can use that AAR promo code, and as you heard in that rejoinder there, do like I did and get free activation on your phone. It's simple to do, and you can support the businesses that support your lifestyle, your freedoms, your rights, and they openly, overtly support your Second Amendment right. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR for Armed American Radio and see for yourself. Make the switch. It's simple and easy to do. You can also visit all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com. Dave Workman, welcome back, my friend. So, Dave, is there a doctor in the house? And is he asking about your guns?
There better not be.
Yeah, well, is he asking about your guns? I mean, this subject comes up from time to time. And as we see narratives create, when the left gets beat down on a certain narrative, they tend to regurgitate some of their other ones. Now, you know, now they're back with the health epidemic, right? And that's no doubt why this is rearing its head again. But I love your headline. It's just a simple question. Is there a doctor in the house, and is he asking about your guns? What's going on?
Well, once again, the Biden-Harris administration has been not so subtly pushing this this argument, this contention that so-called gun violence is a public health problem. It's an epidemic. And they use the term epidemic deliberately because they're trying to portray this as a health problem. But you and I both know that this is a crime problem, and we're not going to cure it by trying to treat people who aren't sick with any disease. And I'm talking about law-abiding gun owners. You know the way you treat a crime problem, if it is a disease, you go after the germs that are committing the crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that bingo. And you lock those people up. I had the great fortune to talk to Dr. John Adine for the article that you're talking about. John Dean's he's a friend of mine. I have known him for quite a while. He's part of the lead team for Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, DRGO. Look him up on Google. You'll learn a great deal. And this is again, it's a problem that I think you're right. When the gun control people wind up with nothing to say, they start falling back on themes that seem to have worked in the past. And all they're really after, once again, is to find another way to find maybe a chink in the armor, or however you want to term it, to go after legislation, to push legislation, to make the argument anyway that the CDC should get all kinds of funds to do this gun control research, which really it is, and they should adopt laws that will allow doctors to make inquiries about firearms in the home. And as I pointed out in that article, and I pointed out many times in the past, if a doctor doesn't have a little card in his wallet that says certified firearms instructor, it's none of his business what I own, period.
Well said.
Well, you know, I had the good fortune here a few years ago. Our family doctor, who's now retired, is a great guy. He was a member of my gun club, so when I'd go in for my annual physical, you know, or maybe I had a headache or something, within 5 minutes, we'd be talking about guns, not any health problems.
Mm-hmm. I do it with my doctor all the time. I got him his paperwork for his weapons license here long before we were concealed constitutional carry state. So this stuff does hit home, but there's two insidious things that I want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, regarding this and why this is yet again so important, because they are again regurgitating this nonsense because everything else they try fails. But there's two issues here that are at stake. Dr. Timothy Wheeler, the founder of DRGO, also a friend of mine and Dave, yours as well, who founded the organization back in 1994, said, and I quote, as you have in your piece, "It's no accident that doctors or health plans questions about guns in your home have become routine. In the 80s and 90s, medical professional organizations declared a culture war on gun ownership in America. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, developed an official policy urging pediatricians to probe their young patients' parents about guns in their homes." Now, why is that? You bring up both of these points are highlighted in that. But the first is, as you mentioned, they want to use our tax dollars through the CDC to come after your rights, number one. As if that's not bad enough, don't think for 2 seconds, ladies and gentlemen, that if they couldn't get your health care provider or your insurance company to turn you away because you're a gun owner, they wouldn't do it, Dave. They would, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's as sure as the sun comes up in the east every morning. And, you know, it's really a sad state of affairs when an administration, for example, wants to really use the medical community by proxy as part of its gun control scheme. You know, doctors should doctor. They treat illness. They sometimes perform miracles. And, you know, my hat's off to the medical community that, you know, one day they're going to find a cure for cancer. One day they're going to find a cure for the common cold. You know, they've helped sick kids live full lives. They have brought about remarkable changes, you know, organ transplants and restoring somebody's eyesight or their ability to walk. You know, all of those things are good things, and you can't put a measure on any of that stuff. But when a doctor starts asking me, you got a gun in the house? My response to that was, cripes, I got a gun right here. You want to see it? You know?
So you don't have to go to my house to see it. It's on my person. Well, you and I attended a gun rights policy conference together a number of years ago in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I've told this story often, but there was an ophthalmologist conference at the hotel, if you recall.
And that's Mr. Gottlieb, right. I remember you telling me that.
Gottlieb and I were out walking his little dog, Winston, 1, 2, or 3. I've lost count. And on our way back in, he said, have you got your speech ready for tomorrow? And I said, it hasn't come to me yet. When right then we let somebody go up the escalator ahead of us, he said, no, you guys go ahead. And he said, no, it's okay. And he said, are you guys here for the ophthalmology convention? And I thought to myself, this guy thinks I look like an ophthalmologist. That's pretty cool. I said, we're here for the gun rights policy conference. And I said, you're here with the ophthalmologist? He says, we are. He goes, so you're with the gun group? I said, yeah. He goes, ooh, we got a letter warning us that you were going to be here. They were warned by the association of whoever the ophthalmologist group is that there would be a pro-gun rally there, and they wanted everybody to be careful, just letting them know that all the pro-gun people were going to be there at the same time. And that gave me my speech for the Gun Rights Policy Conference the next day. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back, because there's method to the madness here. Why is that important? I'll tell you in just a moment. Don't go away. Dave Workman, two more segments.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Yes, it is. Freedom, passion, and precision. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision. Something that Democrats either don't know about or don't care about. By the way, the video production is being brought to you by Daniel Defense as well. We thank Daniel Defense for everything they do for Armed American Radio. DanielDefense.com and the Double D Foundation.org. Get over there and support the youth shooting sports through the Double D Foundation. Pick up some tickets for that raffle, and you might be one of the other two, might be added to the other two and make three of the last five, where it was an Armed American Radio listener that walked off with that incredible package. Greg, if you remember, one of them was an old Model T and a Tommy gun. Remember that?
I do.
That was somebody won. That was quite the deal. I didn't win it, but it sure would be fun to have done that. Nonetheless, the DoubleDFoundation.org and Daniel Defense. Visit all of our partners. We'll talk more about them throughout the show. Let's go back to Dave Workman in beautiful Bellevue, Washington. Dave, the doctor's deal, you know, I joke about that, but that's a true story. That's how I opened up my quick 5-minute speech at the Gun Rights Policy Conference the next day at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Was, guys, you're not going to believe the conversation conversation we had. What does that say, though, that they were warned about us by their group?
Well, I can tell you in two words: social bigotry.
Boom.
There was no reason at all for the doctors to be warned that there was a gun rights policy conference in the same hotel. You know, whoever sent that notice out, that was the textbook example of social bigotry. Nobody told us that we had to ride in the back of the bus or any of that, but it's the same thing. It really is the same thing. And I've seen that manifested in other ways, too. But mention gun, and all of a sudden, everybody's eyeballs kind of bug out, and their eyebrows go up, and heads turn, it's an effort by the far left, the woke people, and even and their predecessors, the liberal goofballs, what they've tried to do, and in some cases they've been very successful. They have taken it upon themselves to demonize gun owners and firearms. You look at news reporting, for example, and the people who are advocating gun control, and they talk about, oh, mass shootings did this, guns killed that many people, guns did this, gun violence did that. No, they didn't. People, bad guys with guns did that stuff. The firearm itself didn't do anything. It just kind of did what maybe a hammer could have done. Or, as you know, I just did a story on multiple stabbings occurred. And nobody runs around saying, oh, God, you know, we've got to register all the knives. Oh, God, we've got to have background checks on kitchen knives. And gee whiz, you can't buy a paring knife unless you wait 3 days. I mean, that's the nonsense that goes along with this stuff. And the other side of this argument, they get so wound up, so tight about this, that they're not all there, frankly. I don't know exactly how else to describe it, but I would suggest they ought to seek counseling, because they're trying to have everybody else in the world share their fear of something. And as I've said frequently at gun rights policy conferences over the years, especially when there's been a local politician in the room or some VIP and they left, I said, you know, it's too bad that they took off, because when they were here, they were in the safest room in the city. And mm-hmm. that's true.
No, you're right. You know, it's interesting. You know, you talk about the suicide. There's Bob Costas. I read something about Bob Costas today. It was a number of years ago, back in, I believe, 2011 or 2012, when Bob Costas jumped up on a football game at halftime after one of the Kansas City Chiefs players, Jovan Belcher, murdered his fiance and then killed himself at the Chiefs practice facility. And Costas is now reflecting back on that statement he made as a mistake. Well, good. Boo-hoo for you. But I digress, because he doesn't change his tune. He just said he wouldn't have done it that way. And he said, you know, I'm a classic liberal like Bill Maher. OK, he said, I don't want to take anybody's guns away from anybody. I don't mind anybody having a gun. That's not what it was about. It came off wrong. And OK, I'll take him at his word. I read what he said and listened to the podcast. I listened to the whole thing this morning, figured out maybe I'll talk about this today. But he made the statement that one thing is clear, that if Jovan Belcher did not have a gun, he and his fiance would be alive today. As if there's no other way for Jovan Belcher to murder his wife and kill himself. He would have driven him off a cliff. They would have sucked on a tailpipe tube. I mean, come on, man. You know, let's do the old Biden. Come on, man. But this is the mindset that's out there. If you have a gun, something bad is going to happen at some point because you're a gun owner. And that's that trap that too many people fall into.
Yeah.
And sadly, some of those doctors, these highly educated people, likely fell into that trap when they got that warning letter, Dave. It's crazy, but it's true.
Well, it is. And, you know, reflecting back on that incident, which what was that, 7 or 8 years ago, I think.
I think it was 2011 or 12, something back there, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been a lot longer ago than that. Time flies when you're my age. You know, hey, am I in the United States now? I don't know.
Come on, man.
Well, you started this. But no, seriously, when you look back at that, you are so lucky, and I think we're all so lucky, that doctor just said, well, hey, yeah, we got this letter about you guys. Well, mm-hmm. you know, bless that guy's heart, because he told us something that we otherwise wouldn't have known. And, you know, frankly, we have a right to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, you guys in the medical community have gone after us simply because we are here exercising two of our constitutionally protected rights, the right to keep and bear arms and the First Amendment right of free speech and freedom to associate. And what are they going to do? You know, there's no wiggle room with that.
No, and let me apologize first. I thought when you were asking I thought you were talking about Costas at first. Yeah, this GRPC was probably 7 or 8 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're talking about here, when that little incident happened. And it was funny and it was telling and everything in between. But you're correct about that. And if you just, even if you look at the left's own numbers, 47% of the doctors there are likely gun owners, Dave. Okay?
Yeah.
And I do want to be fair to the doctors, because it's their organizations. You know, it's JAMA, the Journal of American Medical, and all this. It's the American Pediatrics Association and others that are the ones that are pushing this anti-gun agenda. Not every doctor falls for this. And to get to your point, I think you put it in the piece. In fact, you did. Let me scroll down here. There is an encouraging number here. That so the National Firearms Survey included 4,030 adult respondents, all of whom lived in homes with firearms, which was a completion rate of 65%, which is pretty high. 4,011 answered all firearm safety questions. Of all respondents, 7.5% had ever discussed firearm safety with a provider. So that tells us that a small minority of doctors are actually playing these shenanigans, but they are out there. And what's important, we're getting ready to take a break, so we'll give you this for the break. You can ponder this. But the problem is that doctors are viewed, of course, as they have to be. They're very trusted individuals. Your health care you're turning over to your doctor who you want to trust and believe. And when they talk about these things, they know you trust and believe them. And if they are, in fact, pushing a political agenda, they can be very persuasive if that's what they want to do by combining this with your health care. So it's very important. We will continue to stay on this. And I want to applaud Dave for keeping this out in the public eye, because this is a topic that never goes away. And when it rears its head, we're going to bring it up here on Armed American Radio as well. Dave's got a couple other issues here. I don't even know that I'm going to get to gun control. He's got a couple other great columns. We'll cover as much ground as we can in the final segment with Dave Workman. Don't go away.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, visit allofourpartners.com. ArmedAmericanRadio.com is the allofourpartners.com. You can find them all there. My sister just called me yesterday to tell me that she picked up a bunch of my pillow stuff using the AAR promo code. And she was listening to the show and she said, I didn't know that was out there. So she did the same thing. You can too. And she said, what's the best way to do it? I said, visit MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Simple as that. She did. She's got a bunch of cool stuff coming her way. Some neighbors are doing the same thing. And friends and listeners around the country, I've seen the reports. It's great. Support them for supporting you. All of our partners. Don't forget BarrelBuddy.com. Ammo Squared, our newest partner. Let me tell you about that. I got my first notice when I joined up a few days ago over there. I'm already stacking ammo 223, and it's an amazing plan. Visit AmmoSquared.com. And check that out, AmmoSquared.com. It's great stuff. And, of course, GoatGuns.com. If you haven't bought them yet, you can use them for your first purchase, the AAR promo code at GoatGuns.com, and you'll take 10% off your first purchase right out of the bat. Those things are so cool and so addictive. Greg's got a bunch. Dr. John Adine has every single one of them. So now he's buying accessories for them. GoatGuns.com. All of our partners, armedamericanradio.com. Dave Workman, welcome back. You've got some other great stuff out there. Bring me up to speed on what's going on in Oregon right now, because Oregon and Colorado are, and Washington State as well, are involved in some very serious gun control battles out there. But Oregon just continues. It drones on and on and on. What's happening in Oregon with this Measure 114? And your headline is, Oregon court allows Measure 114 smackdown to stand. Can you explain for listeners in Oregon?
Sure. The Oregon appellate court, or actually the Supreme Court, they have allowed the ruling by a circuit judge over in Harney County last year to stand, at least for the time being, because what that ruling said was that Measure 114, with all of its goofy gun control stuff, violates the Oregon State Constitution. Well, boo-hoo. the Portland gun control crowd is just cringing over that. And, you know, they're due for a confrontation before the Oregon Supreme Court. And frankly, we should all, say a prayer that the Oregon State Supreme Court better follow the Constitution on this one, and if they do, Measure 114 will be declared unconstitutional, period, and that'll be the end of that ball game.
So I don't like to read a lot into a lot of these stays, and look, our side's guilty of it, too. If the Supreme Court refuses to grant cert and let something stand, we claim victory. We didn't win anything. The court never ruled on the merits. It just means now we're going to let it go through the system, right? Other side does the same thing. Oh, yay, the assault weapons ban in Illinois. The Supreme Court agreed not to hear it, so it stands. They claim it as a victory. They didn't. It was no victory at all. So I don't like to look into these decisions, but I'll tell you what. This case in Maryland, because of the state constitution, this doesn't bode well for them going into their Supreme Court matchup with this, does it? This looks pretty positive for Oregon, at least right now.
Yeah, the Court of Appeals, I think, jumped right in there with an en banc hearing because, frankly, my suspicion is they got wind that the three-judge panel that was hearing the case was going to come down on the side of the gun owners of the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the full en banc panel said, oh, God, we got to get in there and we got to kind of slow this one down. Well, you can slow stuff down. But what we have is a locomotive. It may be the little train that could, but it's still a locomotive, and they're not going to stop this. I think that hopefully within our lifetimes, we're going to see all of this stuff just stopped, and the court is going to say, okay, you guys have had your shot, and you missed. I'm sorry. This is what the Constitution says. It's pretty plain language. You're going to have to shut up and live with it.
Yeah, and, you know, this ain't the little Thomas the Train, ladies and gentlemen, either.
That's
this
right.
is the apex predator train coming down the coming down the track. And I feel a lot better about Oregon than I did last year. And,
yeah.
and ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, we'll have Kevin Sterrett on the program in the near future. Let's close out. Yeah, we won't get to Googling gun control with Dave today. That's okay. We'll do that next time because it's always fun to do. But your other headline I wanted to hit with you, and we do have a couple minutes to get at it, staying in the Pacific Northwest, or the old PNW, as we refer to in the trucking business, battle over Washington magazine ban heats as judge strikes law, court stays order. Where are we? Because these headlines get confusing.
Well, there was a hearing on it yesterday before the Supreme Court commissioner. He's going to hand down a ruling next week whether or not the judge in Cowlitz County was correct and declared that the ban on large capacity magazines is unconstitutional. I think he was correct. The attorney general thinks he was incorrect. Now it's the issue is before the Supreme Court, and you know we'll see how that shakes out. Now that said, I want to jump in with something else. Do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is my wife's birthday.
Well, good
well, you
for
weren't
her.
Going
you know
there.
What, yeah, you know what else tomorrow is? It's April 19th. You know what April 19th is? You got what did you do? Sleep through history? April 19th. Do the names Lexington and Concord
yes.
ring a bell?
Yes, and not only that, there's a lot of Hitler stuff on the 19th. My wife has always been paranoid about her birthday because lots of things happened over history on April 19th, if you go back and look at the historical context. But yeah, I took my wife and kids up there last year when we were up in New Hampshire at SIG and went to see Lexington and Concord. And boy, you talk about hallowed ground. And honestly, Dave, the politics of the area now, and I did comment about this on the show, the politics of the area up there now, they haven't earned the right to keep that ground there. If we could somehow dig it up and move it somewhere free, that's where it belongs. Because when you look at the history of Lexington and Concord and what that state, in this case Massachusetts, has done to destroy what those residents many years ago fought for is astonishing. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Well, you know, I've got a piece that should be coming up here shortly or maybe tomorrow morning in Ammo Land about tomorrow. It's the 249th anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord, and that was really what I consider to be the birth date of the Second Amendment. The government tried to take the guns, and we shot them for it.
You know, look, that's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. That's the historical context. That was the original death knell of gun control.
You know, but it really was. You know, sure, we had problems with the taxes, the tea tax and all that, and no taxation without representation. But what really ignited that was when General Gage sent his regulars out to seize the arms and ammunition of the militias in Concord and Lexington. Everything was kind of okay until then, and then they started shooting people.
Yeah, but that happened,
Oops.
Ladies and gentlemen. Wrong place, wrong time. Read that history. It's fascinating. Dave Workman, thank you for being
you
here,
betcha.
My friend. We appreciate it very much. We love you. We're glad your health is doing well. And we'll have you back on the program, I'm sure, next week when time permits. That's Dave Workman, thegunmag.com, ammoland.com. Just Google Dave Workman and you'll find everything you need. Or better yet, DuckDuckGo. Dave Workman, and you'll find out everything he reads, and I would highly recommend that you read what he puts out there. It's fantastic stuff between him and Kodria and Lee the Gunwriter Williams. It's all great stuff. Armed American Radio, we're done for this hour. Back in the next.
Just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.